If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. What a special privilege I have always to speak and to preach God's Word. But today, just getting to talk to some graduates that are taking the next step. They've accomplished a great accomplishment. We hope and pray and know that there are going to be other great accomplishments in their life. And as they're thinking a lot about their journey. They're thinking a lot about their plans, their future. And so what an awesome time to really herald God's Word and say, this is who you are. This is what He expects for you. So we're going to look at Proverbs 3. Many of us know this from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this passage from trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and leaning not on our own understanding. But if you would stand with me, we're going to read Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. And we're going to talk this morning about five things. Five ways to walk rightly with God. Five ways to walk rightly with God. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You would help us to see clearly this morning. Lord, as we hear for this words from Solomon, my son, Lord, I pray that we would realize that this is the inerrant, infallible, God, sufficient Word of God with all authority to transform and to change our lives. God, I pray that You would meet us and that You would do a work in our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Five ways to walk rightly with God. In each of these commands and encouragements from this, probably the wisest man of all times, Solomon, as he writes, my son, you hear this instruction that he gives. And after we hear this instruction, he tells them reasons why that they're to do these things. Ultimately, we know that we want to honor God and that we want to be who we are, who we are called to be. We want to serve Him. But at the end of each one of these Proverbs, you see reasons why, that you may be prosperous, that you may have long life, that you may flourish. And all of these Proverbs, I keep wanting to say promises, and I want to tell you that Proverbs is a little different than a promise. That means that these are generally true. All right. There are times, as we mentioned last week, there are times when people live for the Lord and honor Him, but they may die in a horrible, tragic car accident. That was God's plan. All right. But generally speaking, those who place their faith and hope and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that there are things like peace, there are things like prosperity, there are things that come to them like long life, God's blessing, even in the Old Testament. You know, the blessing would come upon those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, who devoted their life to Him, to walk among the godly and didn't sit with evil and didn't pursue evil and didn't chase their own ways. They weren't wise in their own eyes. And so it's always been those that surrender and submit to the Lord and His will for their life, that walk accordingly to Him and His commands, those are the ones that prosper. All right, first thing we're going to look at is we're going to look at valuing God's Word. And I'll just give them to you this morning. Five ways to walk rightly. We're going to value God's Word. We're going to walk rightly with God by trusting Him, truly trusting Him. Thirdly, we're going to value Him, and we're going to walk rightly by having a humble, reverent life, the writer speaks of. Fourthly, we're going to walk rightly with God in regard to our possessions and how we give God the things and give back of the things He blesses us with. And then fifthly, we're going to walk rightly by accepting His correction and training. As Bruce reminisced up here and thinking about, as he prayed for you guys, it had been, gosh, how long had it been, Bruce? 60 years. Many of us here, me not quite as 60, but we all think about where you are, graduates. We think about the things that you've gone through. We think about the things that are ahead. And it's truly, we can tell you that you don't know what's ahead of you. And it is leery. It is scary. It's you're very vulnerable. And that's why I thought, as I prayed about where the Lord would have take me this morning, I kept thinking about trusting God and leaning not on our own understanding. So I began to read this passage, and man, that things were just jumping off the page about how you are to walk with Him and to live for Him. And then there was all of these proverbs and all of these general promises and protections that were wrapped around those that submitted and surrendered to the Lord and His calling on your life. It's okay for you not to know what you're going to do in a year, 2 years. I went to school in liberal arts my first 2 years, Holmes Community College. Kind of thought I had an idea, but like a lot of people, I was nervous. I was scared. I didn't know. Looking back at seniors and right now, people change their majors many, many, many times. You know, what you want to do today may change even before next week. And that's okay. That's why I'm talking to you this morning from God's Word, saying, trust in the Lord. Walk closely to Him. You know, in Romans it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It talks about, therefore, then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's perfect will for your life. When we talk about God's will, we really mystify it. And we talk about it's like some revelation that we're going to see in the clouds. Guys, I want to tell you, God's will for your life is to walk closely to Him, depend on Him, and He's going to direct your paths. You know, even the Proverbs 22 talks about how we plan, we do all these things, but God orders our steps. So graduates and new believers and adults alike, remember, let's not be wise in our own eyes. Let's trust Him. And I'm going to tell you more in a minute when we get to that, what that looks like to truly trust in Him. But first off, I want to talk to you about God's Word and valuing God's Word. Because guys, I want to tell you, this is your foundation. The psalmist in 119 talks about the God's Word is sweeter than honey from the comb. It talks about it's more precious than silver and gold. And it's the all of life and salvation is found in this. Joy is found in a relationship with God through His Word. The Word talks about in 2 Timothy 3, it says that all of God's Word is given by inspiration. It's divinely inspired and it's profitable for reproof, for teaching, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we're talking about a foundation, graduates. We're talking about a something that will guide you in your ways, something that will protect you, something that will help you understand as you obey and as you follow. So it's God's Word that it grounds you. It's God's Word that gives you confidence. It's God's Word that actually gives us a foundation that's not shifting like all the world around you. And looking about this, the psalmist also says that the Word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need direction. Many of you are seeking direction right now. All right, God's Word will give you direction. All right, for accepting His... other things that we talk about in this will be closely related to the writer here. He says, look at the very first couple of verses. He says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So this is something that we want to hold to. We want to remember. We want to ponder on it. It's actually writing and thinking about Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you want to flip over there with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I looked at this very closely as I wanted to develop this point. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in the people of Israel, and as Moses would write to these, he says this. He says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, and you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes in commandments, His commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. All right, so here it is, that your days may be long. Obey them, not only learn them and know them, teach them to your sons, so that when you go in the land, you've got a foundation in that the days of your life will be long and precious. So he goes on to say, he says, be careful, Israel, to do them, that it may go well with you and that you may multiply greatly. So there's this prospering that comes from those who were treasuring God's Word and His law, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. He goes on to say some things that he says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Listen about valuing God's word, graduates. He says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. He goes on to say, man, we could just go on and on and on. He goes on to say, he says, take care lest you forget. When you eat her and when you're full, he says, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land in Egypt. He tells you that when prosperous times come, when you have these blessings that you didn't work for, when you're eating this food that you didn't labor for, when God's blessing you from the rich and the spoil, from all of the other people that you're going to conquer in this land, he says, be careful not to forget. Graduates, it's easy, I can tell you, in times of prosperity, it's easy to forget the foundation of God's Word. It's easier for you to start kind of trusting in yourself and going your own direction. Remember God's Word. You shall put the Lord, don't put Him to the test. And it goes on to say many things about, diligently keep the commandments of the Lord. It's not okay just to know it, but we want to follow God's Word. His testimonies and statutes which has commanded you, follow them, and you shall do what is right and in good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers by thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has promised. And then he goes on lastly in just developing this point about valuing five ways to walk rightly and valuing God's Word. Lastly, he says this, he says, my sons, he says, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders with great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And it says, and he brought us out from there that we might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to our fathers. Verse 24 of chapter 6. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. It says that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Guys, I want to tell you, and Riley and Kaylee, I can tell you, your grandfather's a great encouragement to me. He's got his iPad and he's got this reading program that he said he's not missed, and I know at least 3 or 4 years he's not missed a day reading God's Word. The psalmist says, "How can we keep our way pure?" And he says, "I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against God." Guys, if you want to walk rightly, God's Word needs to be at the center of who you are, of what you do, of the decisions you make. So value God's Word and walk rightly. Secondly, we see that five ways to walk rightly, the second thing we're going to look at is by truly trusting in Him. So after we look at the law and treasuring God's Word and obeying God's Word, we look at truly trusting God. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. So, let's think about this. Who's in control of your life? Who guides us? Are we wise in our own eyes? Do you seek to live independently of God? That's the manifestation of sin, and the problem we've had since the Garden of Eden, guys, is sin causes us to go our own way. Sin causes us to think we've got it all figured out. This word trust right here is very, I wanted to tell you what this word trust means. To lie helpless face down. The word trust in the Hebrew Scriptures here says to lie helpless face down. It also has to do with a defeated soldier yielding himself to the conquering general. So when you say, yeah, I trust God, Do you find yourself so dependent on God to where you're hitting your knees every day? You're laying before Him. You're yielding just like you would to a conquered general and saying, God, I need you to direct my steps today. God, I need you to show me where to go. I need you to lead my family. I need you to help me be a godly husband or a godly mother. I need you to help me do my job right. That's what it means to trust with all your heart. Now, some of you say, well, I trust God in some areas, and I trust God, I don't really trust Him in other areas. That's another problem, and we're all guilty of that to some degree. We trust God with some things, but we don't really trust Him with other things. So what that means is we surrender and yield maybe a section of our life, but not things that we want to control. Sometimes this happens with relationships. Well, God, you can have all of me except my boyfriend or my girlfriend. You know, that's not an area where I want to really yield to you and your control right now. God, I'll give you this area. I tell you what, Lord, we barter with God, right? Lord, when I need you, I'll holler at you. And thank you for always being there. And guys, we hear some crazy stuff that the people around us tell us as we put ourselves on the throne of our life. Everything becomes about us. Even faith and religion has to do with what we like, what we desire, how we want to sing, what style of music we want to do. It even goes back to the way we think a service ought to be. It goes back to even things about how we want to even feel like we're in control of all of those type areas. So what does it mean to truly fall face down before God and depend on Him? What about your finances? The way you spend money, the way you spend your time, does that reflect you and your dependence and trust in the Lord? I tell you, graduates, don't be like me or don't be like others that find themselves at a point to where we are trying to direct our own steps, trying to trust in our own whatever that may be, and God decides to take you somewhere else and do something differently with you. It's very difficult. At the very end of this, the last thing in walking rightly with God is accepting His discipline because He loves you, and you're proven to be a son or a daughter if He directs you and He leads you. And sometimes that correction and training, which that word discipline has to do with, it does not feel good. But at the end of the day, if we submit our lives to Him and we say and we make a profession of faith and we say we're dying to that old life and we're walking in this newness and Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, what that means is, guys, is that we depend on Him. We trust Him. We trust Him when the storm hits. We trust Him when the health problem hits. We trust Him when the finances fail. We trust Him when our friends turn their back on us. We trust Him when that person we thought we were going to marry decides to go off somewhere else and with someone else. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, not some of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. You know, I think about my dad, and my dad used to hear him tell this story, and I thought it was great. But I actually remember living the story. I remember my dad was always a builder and in construction, and at times, you know, he'd be doing something around the house, and we'd see a ladder. So, you know, little boys see a ladder, you know what we're doing. We're going up the ladder. So we'd find ourselves, how cool we were to be walking around the tops of a house. And I remember this one particular day, my dad was down there, and he was down there, and we were up on the top of the house, and I don't know, my dad is tall, but he's not, you know, but the top of the house, I guess, is a lot taller. And I remember him saying, come on, son, jump to me. And he said, without hesitation, and I remember it, without hesitation, we just jumped off to our dad in our arms. Because I knew my dad was going to catch me. I trusted my dad. I completely showed that I trusted him by spreading out like an eagle and flying off the top of that house. All right? I think that, to me, that's an example of what it means to really depend on the Lord and trust Him. Like, just go and do and submit and surrender and jump. And though we don't understand, we know He's going to be there. We know He's going to catch us. We know He's going to protect us. We know that we're His. And as Romans tells us, if He's given us and bought us with the precious blood of His Son, will He not also give us every good and perfect gift we need for our sanctification, for our growth, for our godliness. So value the ways to walk rightly with God, value His Word, and truly trust Him. Jump off in His arms. Quit holding back. Not in just some areas we trust Him. Trust Him in all areas. And thirdly, let's walk rightly with God by a humble and reverent life. Look at verse 7 and 8. Look at verse 7 and 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So here we go. Here's another, the joys and the blessings, the healing that comes from this not being wise in our own eyes. And this has to do with also that surrender and that dependence upon the Lord. Fearing the Lord, reverencing the Lord, putting a proper knowledge and understanding and respect for Him and His attributes. And turning away from evil. We had a man's event, and we actually had six or seven, eight in our church that went to the Michael Mason speaking out at a farm out from in Somerville. A wonderful event, over 200 men, and we sang together, and Michael Mason got up and, man, delivered a great message, and his message to us was simply flee. And he talked about, and he went to 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, and I actually want to read this to you. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, and looking at certain things to flee from, he talked about the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife and how some things, the best thing we can do in reverence for God and in living a godly life is to run from evil. Right? Flee evil. And he's talking about riches up above those verses. But in 1 Timothy 6, he says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Graduates, flee these things. What are some things we need to flee from? 1 Corinthians 6 talks about flee immorality. 1 Timothy talks about flee youthful lust. A lot of times we definitely know that we're tempted with the lust of our flesh and sexual desires, and we know that those things are going to lead they're going to lead to further sin. They're going to lead to isolation and spiritual death. You think some guy's loving you, you get involved with him, next thing you know, you're most empty, you're most miserable person you've ever felt. Right? Same way with you guys. You get involved in a relationship, you say, this is going to be perfect, we're going to get married. Next thing you know, you're wondering why you're screaming and fussing and arguing all the time. You're wondering why you're so discouraged, why you feel like it's you're always fighting. Because God gives us a prescription to be holy, to be pure, to be right before Him. And sometimes that means fleeing from these things, fleeing from pride, fleeing from greed. What are we chasing after in the things of this world? One more dollar will bring us contentment, right? That's what the old rich man said after the multimillionaire said, how much more would it make you to, what do you need to feel contentment? Or to be, you know, how much more do you need? And he said, just one more dollar. Always one more dollar. That's like me when I go fishing. I never want to leave. I want one more fish, right, Brother Randy? We just got to have one more fish in the basket. Why can't we be content with the other 50 that's already in there? Something about our nature. Guys, I want to tell you, find your contentment in Christ. Find your who you are in Him. Right here, and after he says flee certain things, he gives us things to pursue. So in looking at this humble, reverent life, in fearing the Lord and departing from evil, we're fleeing certain things, and then there's certain things we're to pursue. He says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. And then I love this. Fight. Graduates, new believers, senior adults, middle-aged, teenagers, Dixie Ann. Sorry, I just picked on Dixie Ann. He says fight. He says fight the good fight. What does that mean? That means you're in a battle. If you're fleeing from sin, if you're holding fast and actually pursuing certain things, it's a struggle. It's a battle, right? So flee these certain sins, pursue righteousness. Then he goes on to say, fight the good fight of faith. And then he says, take hold of eternal life. Graduates, how do you take hold of something? I don't think it's no secret that my dog likes to run from me. I put him in the kennel today, and as I put him in the kennel and I tried to shut the gate, you could tell he was trying to bolt. I grabbed a hold of him, right? I took hold of him. If I didn't take hold of him, he'd be at Love's truck stop right now. Or he'd be on the other side of who knows where, all right? So in looking at this fight and pursuing righteousness and pursue these things and grab a hold, it says, of eternal life. Right? We know that God's word brings abundant life, brings eternal life. Even faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. So the word of God, as we value God's word, it strengthens, it gives us faith, and it sustains our faith, God's word does. So take hold, pursue, fight the good fight, flee sin. We're talking about a humble and reverent life. As we trust Him, we are drawn closer to God and further from evil. And then it says right here, it says, surrender and trust in this reverence and humility equals health, peace, and strength. Who wants more health, good health in your life? Who wants to be resolved in your mind no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight? Who wants to lean on the everlasting arms and be given all strength you need to give you peace that passes all understanding? If you want that, graduates, then surrender to Christ. Depend fully, completely on Him. All right? Fourthly, walk rightly with God in regard to your possessions. Now, I like this because I think the things we give are a blessing from God, and I think the things we use and the time He gives us, the money He gives us, the riches He gives us, the talents He gives us, I think they're to be used for His glory. All right? And just about as we talked about church membership with Lena up here a while ago, that's one of the things we encourage everyone that professes faith in Christ. Upon your conversion, God not only gives you salvation, He gives you a gift. All right? So what do we want to do is we want to use that gift. We want to equip saints for ministry. We want to be diligent in that gift, in those talents. I love to see a choir filled with people. Why? Not just so we can brag on our choir. It's because people are worshiping God with what He's blessed them with. I love it when, and I don't know who gives what, don't want to know, but I love to see when people put things in offer, put checks in offer plate. You know why? Because I know God's going to multiply it back to them. I know what they're saying is, God, I believe You. I surrender my life to You. I'm depending on You. And where that came from, You got a whole lot more that You're going to bless me with. And I depend on You. Here it is. And it's the first fruit. And the children of Israel would bring the first blessings of the firstborn of all the little lambs and goats and cattle. They would bring them as an offering. So there's a form of sacrifice in our giving back to God. That we believe God who He says He is. And we want to give Him what's He's blessed us with. So don't give Him the leftovers. Malachi 2 talks about the people of God, their hearts were hard and cold, and they started bringing God these little lambs that were sick. They were giving Him their leftovers, the ones that had the little green stuff around His eyes, and the ones that just didn't walk right, and the ones that we didn't want in the herd. They brought God the leftovers. And boy, I'm going to tell you, He's a jealous God, and He wasn't going to have any part of that. So you who say you love God, show it by how you spend your time and your money and your talents and your gifts and the things He's blessed you with. All right, He wants all of you, and He has all of you. And if He has all of you, then don't be afraid to give Him what's best. And that carries over in all of life. It carries over by how you live. It carries over in how you treat your children and wives, and carries over in how you dress. You say, what? You're getting legalistic now, preacher. Well, I mean, how we carry ourselves says a lot about what we value in relation to the one true God who loves us and gave Himself for us and blessed us. Give back to Him. Give back to Him. Try to outgive God. Try to outgive Him. I tell you what, I can tell you testimony after testimony. You guys could too. Of being faithful to give when you had trouble. What about the little lady that, remember the lady that gave all she had and put two little tokens in the offering plate? And somebody said, and the giving the commentary on it, Jesus is talking to me. He said, she gave more than anybody because she gave all she had. How many of you have ever just tried God and put Him to the test and said, God, You're going to take care of me. I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you a lot. I'm going to give You what's, you know, because I trust You. I don't like to qualify it or quantify it because, you know, somebody said, well, I gave way more than him. Well, he probably don't have as much as you got. Plus, what does that mean? You know, what in relation between you and God, not letting the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Only God knows. How do you give Him your first fruits? How do you honor Him with your possessions? Walk rightly with God, teenagers. Now, I know a lot of y'all don't have a lot of money right now. We just, at that stage in life, you don't have a lot of money. But you've got a heart, a vibrant heart. You've got talents. You've got a personality. You've got friends. You've got families who love you. And you say, well, how do I give my family? I don't know how you do that. But I will say this, as they've been good stewards to teach you and help you and train you, then now you're accountable for the things they've taught you. I tell my kids as I pray for them on the way to school every day, I tell them, I said, man, there are people broken today coming to school. How are you going to be a blessing to this individual, to that individual? You know, how can you use what you have, whether it's just an understanding of that God loves you or whether it's a something you want to share with them at lunch? How can you be a blessing to others today? That's also honoring God with your possessions, is being used by God. Your talents, your gifts, your understanding of who God is, and just being a friend. Being a friend. Fifthly, we walk rightly with God by accepting His correction. Look at verses 11 and 12. And as we honor God with our possessions, you know, I think I made a comment there that we can't outgive Him. He's gonna multiply it back to us. But it says, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine, with the new wine. That's just the proverb writer is his way of saying that God's always going to fill your barns. He's always going to give you His blessings if you're faithful to walk with Him and trust Him with your first fruits of all your produce. So test Him and try Him. Now, verse 11, the last thing, by accepting His correction and training, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him who He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. Guys, I want to tell you, His correction, this discipline refers to, I tell my little boy the other day, and I was talking to Savannah about it, and, Daddy, you, I said, sweetheart, I love you too much to let you do this and get away with it. I love you too much. And I know she hates to hear that, and I'm sure the kids, all of them, hate to hear that. But parents, you ever said something to your children like that? It's the same way the Lord is with us. He loves us too much to let us go chasing after the things of the world, where that we know they're going to lead us with the prodigal son in the pig pen. All right. He loves us too much to let us continually make a mockery of His holiness, of His righteousness, of His love and His mercy. And so a mark of our sonship is correction and training. And discipline is reproof and rebuke, but also discipline has to do also with just correction and training. Sometimes we feel His heavy hand, sometimes not as much so. But I will tell you this, if you're a child of God, one of the ways you know you're a child of God is He's going to correct you when you get off into error. He's going to bring you back. And it's not going to feel good at times. Now, sometimes you may not even understand and know exactly why He's correcting you and how He's correcting you. But we do know the Word of God, as you value it, it does bring conviction. It separates soul and marrow, and soul and spirit, and bones and marrow. And so it reveals your heart. So in that, the Word of God will help you see. He'll correct you and train you in that He will take these things away from you. He will help nudge you back to that straight path as you depend on Him. Now, if you're stubborn and hard-headed like me, He will crush your spirit to where you feel like you're going to die. And I felt it, and it doesn't feel good. Because He cares for you, and He wants you to live for Him, how He's prescribed in His Word. So graduates, one way you can keep from getting and feeling the heavy hand of God is to honor Him, submit to Him, surrender to Him, to lean not on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own ways. Fear Him and walk with Him daily. Because that's where we will experience abundant life. In conclusion, we've looked at five things in how to walk rightly with God. These could have been called life lessons. We could have called them God's desires for you. We want to value God's Word. We want to truly trust Him. We want to live a life of humility and reverence for God, to fear Him and depart from evil. Fourthly, we said we wanted to walk rightly with God in regard to how we use those things He blesses us with. And fifthly, we want to allow Him to train us and discipline us and to teach us, and to not be so quick to try to run from His discipline, but to accept His discipline. This is a sign of that He loves us, and He chastens those He loves. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. So graduates, I love you. I hope you hear the pastor's heart. I hope you hear a heart of love. I gave you five things that the writer from Proverbs tells us from God's authoritative word. Men and women, senior adults, boys and girls, teenagers, talking to myself, these are things that will guide us and will lead us in the path of eternal life, in the way of complete joy. So take hold of these things. Pursue righteousness. Flee from immorality. And honor the Lord with your time, energy, and possessions. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your words, and that word that's a light and lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God. We thank you for your direction. And we pray that we would continue to heed and submit, surrendering fully and completely to you. I do thank you for these graduates. I thank you for these two that have committed their lives to you. I thank you for everyone represented here in our pursuit to honor you and to live for you as a result of what Christ has done. God, lead us and guide us by your Spirit. God, we thank you. Thank you that we can depend on you. And Lord, we know you have a plan and purpose for us. We thank you so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand, Brother Ken is going to lead us. I think it's turn your eyes upon Jesus.